An update now, Dennis, on the battle between Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed and the Atlanta Public Schools over the future of Adair Elementary School. Now, that school is empty. The school system would like to sell it, Dennis, so it can be developed as a residential building. But the city holds the deed to the property, and this is a story we've been following very closely here on A Closer Look. Now, so far, Mayor Reed has refused to release the deeds to APS.
Now, some city council members have jumped into the middle of it all. At-large members Mary Norwood and Andre Dickens have introduced a resolution asking the mayor to transfer the deed to the Adair property to APS. Councilmember Norwood joins us now. Welcome. Good to have you.
It's great to be here. What we did was actually to introduce an ordinance to quit claim the property. So it wasn't asking the mayor. It literally, if this ordinance took effect, the property would be transferred.
You anticipated my first question, which is, does this have a binding effect? Is it just strongly encouraging the mayor, or if it passes, does the city give the deed to APS?
The city would give the deed to APS.
So the mayor could veto it.
This is an ordinance to quit claim to the Atlanta Board of Education, the property known as George Adair Elementary School. Now, what has also happened is once our legislation was known, there now is, and I'm very glad to see it, an ordinance presented by two of my other colleagues, Joyce Shepherd, who's the councilman of the district, and Kwanzaa Hall, which does request the mayor to engage with the school system about George Adair Elementary School.
So a two-track approach, basically.
Then we had a third piece of legislation that showed up, and that is by Councilmember Michael Julian Bond. It's a resolution, and it asks the mayor to evaluate all the properties that are being, and to see whether or not they are being used by the school system. And in addition, that councilman has also talked about turning properties into green space. What I felt was important was to deal with one school at one time. I wanted to see a school where the community had said, we would love to see this redeveloped. We have a buyer. It's right near the Beltline. It's a wonderful building, and it has been vacant for years. So when the community came to me and Andre, we decided that we would take on this one issue and not be in the middle of the fray of the entire contentious continuing discussions between the City of Atlanta and the Atlanta school system.
Councilwoman Norwood, Mayor Reed has said, and he said on this show, the program, A Closer Look, he has said, look, we are in negotiations. We are negotiating. And he did admit that it may move beyond his term as mayor. But he has said, he seemed very adamant that negotiations are ongoing. There's no need to introduce anything else that might interfere with that. As you recall, just last month when City Council President Cesar Mitchell had introduced his own proposal, Mayor Reed was not happy about that because at first it sort of dealt with going to the General Reserve Fund. Wasn't happy about that. Then Council President Mitchell said, well, let's look at some of the properties that we are going to be getting revenue from that we sell, like the underground or what have you. And Mayor Reed was adamant, let's stick to the negotiations. Why get the council involved in this fight between the mayor and APS if Mayor Reed wants the negotiations to just sort of be between him and the general counsel and then the APS?
It's two different issues. That is the APS versus City of Atlanta with the Beltline. This is very different, and I felt it was different. It's a school that by all rights, I hope, we will allow to be redeveloped, and so we will do the quit claim of our rights to that property.
But he said on this program, while you are threatening to sue the City of Atlanta, and now you turn around APS and you want to ask me for your help, but you are planning to sue me, or sue the city, I should say.
Well, the one thing about politics and public service is it is very fluid, because I'm sitting here holding an ordinance that Joy Shepherd and Kwanzaa Hall introduced, saying that the mayor is interested in looking at negotiating and coming up with an agreement about this particular property. I thought that our role, and feel very strongly our legislative role had a place in this issue, not in the negotiations per se, because he is the chief executive officer of the city. But in this occurrence, we have the ability and we must authorize a quit claim deed in all of the transfers of school property, and they happened almost every year when I was down at City Hall before my involuntary separation. And I'm back.
So you're saying this has been done before?
Yes. Right. I have 7 of my 8 years on city council, we did quit claims.
From the city to the school system.
Correct.
Okay. Quick reset here. Number one, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education. Secondly, the fight that all of us have been referring to between the city and the school board over the Beltline deals with a loan, in effect, that the school system gave the city for Beltline funding, and they're now in a big dispute over when and how the city will pay that back to APS. You're saying this Adair issue, you're trying to do it separately from the Beltline, and as Rose implied, Mayor was tying the two together in that saying, okay, you're asking for my help on Adair, but you APS are battling with me over the Beltline. Is it possible to separate these two as you want to do, given the fact that there's that bigger battle? And also because, let's face it, Adair is close to the Beltline, as you said. If it's developed, it's going to be part of the whole situation anyway.
What I look at is the fact that, as I said, things are fluid. And when I saw a second piece of legislation coming forward, I felt that that was a great step in the right direction. And the council, because we did not have the Finance Executive Committee meeting today, they will be addressing this issue tomorrow. So we will see with these three pieces of legislation which one or ones advance. It may be at our quit claim, which is the strongest. It may be the one addressing just Adair, which is very time sensitive, or it may be the one that looks at all the property. So the City Council's Finance Executive Committee will make that decision. But we're in our right lane. We are in the lane of legislation, and the quit claim is part of our legislative authority.
APS, the City of Atlanta, need each other. They work together. Obviously, we know about the role of the mayor and the Atlanta City Council when it came to the Atlanta Public Schools and the cheating scandal, the search for its current new superintendent, Dr. Maria Karstoffen. Councilwoman Norwood, how crucial is it to at least get this done as sort of a healing patch for the tension between the city and APS?
Well, and that's one reason that when I was approached by the community, I decided to proceed. And
what did they say?
The community, yeah. Or my colleagues?
The community, the colleagues, what they say?
I was at the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board's leadership forum, and Felicia Moore and I were there to answer questions and be part of the program. And we had several neighborhoods who came up to us and asked about the Adair School. Well, as you know, I know every neighborhood in the city personally. I know 711 Catherine Street personally. I know how close it is to the Beltline. I know what's happening in that neighborhood. You know, Adair Park has two wonderful parks in it that are right there. That neighborhood is coming back, and it's just a wonderful part of Southwest Atlanta that is showing great resurgence. And so to have a prospective owner to have this building back into a wonderful use for the community, to me, was important enough to delve into the fray. It also is an olive branch. These negotiations have been contentious, and every now and then can we do something that says, we're helping both of us, and we're helping, most importantly, the community, and that's the reason I did it.
So have you talked to the mayor about it? And now, what was his reaction if you did?
We had an executive session to discuss the Beltline and discuss all of the issues, and it was right before I was on camera announcing that we were going to be introducing this. Unfortunately, at that meeting, I raised my hand. Andre raised his hand.
And this is Councilman Dickens.
Four or five other council members raised their hands right before it was my turn, and then Andre's turn to speak. A note was brought to the mayor, and he had to leave the meeting immediately. So he left, and I never had the chance to ask him. And it was less than an hour later when I was asked to go on air, which I felt at that point was appropriate.
If the mayor vetoes, let's say, and this is hypothetical here, but let's say your ordinance, the strongest measure of the three, passes, requiring the city to do a quick claim deed to APS. Suppose the mayor vetoes that. Do you know at this point whether you would have the votes to override? Because it would take, I think, 10 council members, wouldn't it, to override?
That's correct. And I think it will depend on how council members feel this is evolving. I would think and hope, with three other council members who are already introducing legislation, that somewhere in here we will have some resolution to this matter. 2 weeks ago, nothing was on the table. Now, three pieces of legislation are on the table. That's progress.
So you're optimistic, you're hopeful, this will get done. For everyone out there listening,
I am an eternal optimist. I think there's a lot of proof to substantiate that, and I also persevere. There's a lot of proof to that, too.
Go ahead, Rose.
Well, just real quickly, before we let you go here, you know, obviously, when you come on this show, questions can come out of anywhere. And we sort of talked about this, but do you still drive the Buick, Councilwoman Norwood?
I do not. The little green Buick has gone to the son of a great friend, and who is 19 years old and in college and doing wonderfully, and that's who ought to have it now, because it had 120,000 miles on it by the time it left me, because it stayed a few years after the mayor's campaign.
And for those that are wondering what we're talking about, when you were running for mayor, you had a campaign ad that says, "I drive a Buick," and it was just sort of sticks in my mind. It was great.
Well, green Buick. Green
1998. You can still go on YouTube and find it.
former Congressman Jack Kingston used an old Buick station wagon in his primary campaign.
See what you started?
If it works, people are going to copy it. That's for sure.
City Councilwoman Mary Norwood, thanks very much for being with us. We'll, of course, check back with you as this goes along, because these negotiations are, as we say, ongoing.
Very fluid.